Today is our family's last Sunday here as Hong Kong residents. So we've effectively packed all our boxes and furniture and belongings on Thursday. We will be back here 2 months from now, but it'll be as visitors, so not as the children's pastor. And we'll probably be here over the Sunday in our new facility. And I was thinking about this, for some of us who may be joining us for the first time. You know, Solomon's Porch is, man, we're in such an exciting time right now. So many things. Even as I think about some of the things going on around the world, amidst the hardships, the struggles, God is doing an amazing thing in us, in each of us. And, we're in the midst of moving to a new facility in October and a new place of worship that can accommodate, 400, 500 people, two services, larger facilities for children's ministry. We have two incredible people that are on staff and, really going to serve and bless you guys and love you guys. And so, there's a season of things to pass, and sometimes in a way, we want to hold on to it too tight. I'm not referring to me, like you want to hold on to, but just things in general, right? Because we're going no matter what. We were in our every Sunday I do the Sunday school staff prayer, and I don't have that many deep relationships. So in some ways, even when I left, California, I left all my friends, people I'd known for 20 years. It's not like I didn't care or didn't love them, but it's just like, all right, man, And so going into my last prayer meeting, I thought no big deal, but, something started like stirring up in my heart and it was getting a little emotional. And so, I just wanted to kind of block it out. And then I just walked up and I said, okay, man, I'm done. And, the teacher's kind of jokingly like, this is it. It's all Pastor Carol's now. So it's all under her hands. And so just sort of the mix of emotions and whatnot as our family is preparing to go out. The passage that I want to read from today, it's going to come from 1 Chronicles chapter 14. So if you don't have a Bible, raise up your hands and our ushers will get one to you. And my message really today is really simple. It's a combination of a testimony. So I'm going to give sort of my call, how I came out to Asia. And I won't keep it too long-winded. Someone had told me that when Pastor Sam Song left his church in California, his final message was 2 hours long. Right? You believe it, right? I totally believe it. It's like, that's it? Right? And someone said, like, he had so much to say. Right? And I don't have that much to say. And in fact, if you guys remember my first message that I gave here, and I instantly won some followers or people, was 12 minutes. I came up here and I talked about Superman and Jesus Christ and then I ended. And that thing was like 12 minutes and then, I didn't even know who Jimmy Choi was. He came up, oh, I loved your message, and he shook my hand. And so people are asking me, even my Sunday school teachers are like, keep it short, keep it short. I don't know. I got a lot of stuff here. It may be 30 minutes. It could be an hour. But I promise you it won't be 2 hours. Okay, so our passage here is from 1 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 8 to 16. Verse 8 to 16. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David, and David heard of it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou give them into my hand? Then the Lord said to him, go up, for I will give them into your hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore they named that place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their gods there. So David gave the order that they were burned with fire. And the Philistines made yet another raid in the valley. And David inquired again of God. And God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. And David did just as God had commanded him, and they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon even as far as Gezer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we humble ourselves, God. And today is a day of celebration, God, for all the good things that you're doing. God, all the good things that you're doing here at Solomon's Porch. All the things that you're doing in the lives of our members here at this church. Even in the midst of hardship, Father God, even in the midst of difficulty, God, you are worthy of our praises. And so, God, we come before you, and God, we just come to say, here we are, Lord, speak to us. Lord, I pray that your word would come powerfully and prophetically. Lord, I humble myself, and I make myself available to you. God, I know that you have a word for every individual here, God, that there's a place in their life, God, that you want to speak into. So, God, we come, and our minds and our hearts are focused on you. Jesus, come and walk with us and sit with us and help us to process the things that your spirit is wanting to download into us, Lord. And, Lord, let us be affected. God, let us be affected that when we walk out, Lord, that we want to do something more for you, that we want to be more like you. God, that we want others to see you in us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this celebration. God, we worship you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not often, but you know, you won't hear a message starting off where the pastor says, God, what are you doing? And I'm in a place where in some ways I'm asking that question, like, God, what are you doing? And as we're getting ready to go out to Beijing, It's crystal clear to me what the call is. I'm absolutely confident and clear in what God is calling us to. But at the same time, the details of which, like what's the next step, and then what's the next step. And when I assess my heart, I feel like my heart is a bit all over the place. And so when I had first left China in 2003, and I came out as a missionary to Northeast China near the Tumen River. It was a similar feeling in the sense that I had a call. It was to go out to China and to minister to North Korea, and I could say it in, you know, two or three sentences, but beyond that, I couldn't tell you exactly what was the plan. And so recently, when our sister Leanne Chang from Solomon's Porch had been sent out from us to go to Nanjing, you know, there was a whole process with the missions committee members that we had to go through. And in essence, we said, we want to know your vision, right? What's your plan? And she came to us and she said, well, I just have this incredible calling, this yearning, this aching to go to China and to be there and to evangelize. And so obviously we received that call, but so what's your plan? And then she said, well, I don't know, right? And for other missions committee members sitting there, I could understand, like, well, if you don't have a plan, then let's make a plan. But I'm coming from a situation where I went through the same thing, where I was sent out to China, and I had a vision and a call to minister to North Koreans. But I had absolutely no North Korean contacts. I had absolutely no, at that point, way to get into North Korea. And so what I said was, God, I'm going to go in faith. I'm going to situate myself on the border, and God, I'm here, and I'm available. And so it's almost like God is giving this call, and I'm writing things in pencil, at the same time making myself available, saying, God, wherever you want to erase, right, as opposed to writing in pen the plans and the purposes, it's almost like God is giving me this call, and then he chisels away as I'm obeying, day by day, month by month. He's fine-tuning my call and my vision. And eventually we were there, and eventually we met contacts. Eventually, we started to minister to 40 to 50, North Korean refugees who had come over illegally, and our ministry was thriving. We were getting support from churches in the U.S., you know, having little events and conferences and whatnot. And God did a powerful thing there. And so, you know, when we sent Leanne out, I knew that she was being faithful to the call, right? And sometimes we hear and we're very clear of what God wants in terms of the direction, but the steps that He directs. Really, we need to submit before the Lord. So from China, and I said I'm going to share just a little bit of my call to China and how we got to Solomon's Porch. After 3 years and after having gotten married to Annie, we moved to Beijing for a year. And it was a season where, as a couple, we were waiting on the Lord. And there were a few distinct things that God had been placing on our heart. And, you know, this was in 2006, prior to when we had just found out that she was pregnant with Micah. So Micah was just like a little acorn or something in her tummy, right? Now he's this crazy wild thing. And we were there in Beijing, and this is before, you know, you have to remember, you know, before coming to Solomon's Porch in 2007, I come from an ultra-conservative Reformed church denomination, you know, tradition. But at the same time, I remember we were talking about this in April, saying, you know, I really sense that God wants me to get back involved with children, right? And I had done an internship for 1 year, you know, some years back while I was in Orange County. And I didn't know, there's no way I could have known what this was going to be, you know, 8 months later, that, you know, a week after or a month later, my son would be born in November of that same year. But in March, in April of that year, we were just talking. It wasn't even a prayer request. We were just talking and down and just saying, like, you know, I really sense that God, something is going to bring me down in the path of dealing with children. And you know, I was just, God was just pressing on my heart that in some form or fashion that I need to do that. And then two, in that same season, in that same month in Beijing, you know, in our apartment, we would have these talks, and I would say, it's not that I love preaching, you know, I just like Carmen, like most people, it just doesn't come naturally, you know, there's a lot of fear involved, but I feel like I miss it. Like, there's a part of me that God wants to use me to communicate and to preach the gospel. And so I told her those two things, and we talked about it. We never even prayed about it, but God was doing something. He was downloading it at the same time as it was stirring, as it was affecting, as it was impacting something in our hearts. Our thoughts, you know, our prayers, in a way, from our hearts, you could say, were being lifted up. And we came to Hong Kong of three options, between having our first son, Micah, in Beijing, between having it back in the United States, and the third option was having it here in Hong Kong. We just prayed about it, and we finally decided to come here. And we gave birth to, or Annie gave birth to Annie, and it was during that month, that season, Pastor Sam had asked us if we would consider coming on board as staff to do Noah's Ark Children's Ministry. And at that time, we had one kid, Elise, right, who was, like, you know, less than a year old. And so he had incredible faith, you know, to bring on someone full-time in children's ministry, right, when there was only one child, or either that, or he just really wanted to bless Elise, which kind of makes sense too, right? Yeah, man, at least we got like four children's pastors, right, and whatnot. And here's the point I want to get to as far as our call coming to SP. There are a whole lot of factors that were involved, obviously. One, just kind of logistically speaking, I was still, you could say, on staff with my church in California, meaning that they had commissioned me out. So in essence, you could say that my booty belonged to them, right? And so where they want me to go, I got to go. And they had just done this huge, like, ceremony where I had come out and in front of the whole church and, like, you know, this is, you know, Sam Kim, or, you know, Pasong Sanggyesanim, which Pasong means, I don't know, and Sanggyesanim is missionary, right? This is our special missionary, right? Right? It's Korean, but it's like some form of Korean, I don't understand. And so, you know, like, they just had this ceremony, like, everyone came, my parents came, like, you know, I don't know, our church is like 300, 400, everyone came, and then I came back to Beijing, like, hey man, you want to work at SP? I was like, yeah, right? I would love to, but I got this problem here. And so, you know, it was the first time I had fasted, you know. I fasted 3 days. I ate carrots, and it was tough. And Mike Cho actually had invited us to have a Cafe 2 that day. And I was like, dude, this sucks, man. I'm like eating carrots, and there's like waffles and all this stuff. And it was in the season where we were praying through, and we were staying in Hyja's apartment because he had just left for Japan, right, that month. Everything was set up. I mean, there's so many details I can't go over, but, you know, he had just left, so his apartment was open for 3 months. So we came, and it was perfect timing, and it's part of the reasons why we came, so we could have the baby, and there was a place for us to stay. And so we're fasting, and we're seeking, and independently, you know, as Annie and I were both seeking after the Lord, I think within the matter of the same day or two, we both downloaded that God wanted us to be here. And it was so clear to us. And we didn't know how this was logistically possible, but we just knew. And so we knew that with the call, you know, comes a measure of faith, right? That it's not going to be automatic. And so our measure of faith, or our step of faith, as we inquired, as we sought after the Lord, was that, okay, God wants us here. How are we going to make this work? Okay, you know what? We're so confident. we're so clear that this is what God has spoken on us, that He wants us to be a part of Solomon's porch, that He wants to be us to be a part of this ministry as it's growing, that even if it means staying in Shenzhen, because in California, they don't know where Shenzhen or Beijing or Hong Kong is, so I could say, hey, I'm in Shenzhen. And if that meant staying in Shenzhen and not being on payroll or staff, but still continuing to do ministry in China, but coming into Hong Kong on the weekends or whatever it took, commuting, so that we could be and lead the children's ministry here, we had agreed in our hearts that that's what we would do. See, we took that measure of faith. We already said, okay, God, we know You want us to be here, so therefore, this is what it takes, and this is what we'll do. We'll live in Shenzhen, and we'll come in on a voluntary basis. And we were confident, and we were clear, and this was going to happen. Well, in the end, it works out that our church, you know, the pastor, the lead pastor and everything, they had done and worked it out so that we could be, and I wrote out our proposal, and so that we could be stationed out here in Hong Kong. And the agreement would be that I would go into Beijing and the ministries that I had been doing years prior, 3-4 years prior to coming to SP. And so it worked out. But logistically, that's sort of the struggles. And then we ended up being here, and God provided, and everything worked out. But there was one thing, and it seemed like a little thing, but there was, I mean, that's logistically in God's calling, but there was a tugging in our heart at that time, and I don't know that I shared with many of you, but there was one other factor that wasn't necessarily, like this logistical problem of being a part of the other church wasn't something that was holding us back, but there was a couple that, in fact, we were thinking of not leaving Beijing, right? We were thinking of maybe we should stay in Beijing, and we had been a part of a house church, Rock Harbor, which is a church in Newport. There was a member there who had come out to Beijing, and so we were doing like a video stream, and this guy was sort of the contact person. And so, in essence, they wanted to start a church. And so we were part of this, a couple of our close friends, and we had been doing this for about maybe 8 months. And all throughout, Annie and I were talking about maybe this is what God's calling us to. Maybe we're to plant a church in Beijing, you know, through Rock Harbor, through their network, and through these people, and through these individuals. And so that was one thing that was kind of heavy on our heart. So my point is that there was a seed that God had planted in our hearts, in some sense, to want to remain there. And here's the basic reason. It was just these two couples. It was this one couple in particular, Paul and Lanelle Newman. They're in San Francisco now, but basically, they were so hungry for God, and they were just beginning their journey in their faith. And it was so exciting to be there, even if it was just a group of 6 or 7 people, to be able to see them grow and to experience and to worship. And so, as we were gearing up to go and to come to Hong Kong, there was still a little bit of a tugging, like, well, man, maybe we're missing something here and whatnot. And in hindsight, obviously, it's so clear. I mean, we just weren't ready. You know, we weren't ready to plant a church. And so God brought us here, you know, to take on responsibilities, to be a part of ministries, to see how SP does ministry. And you know, now, you know, the next 2 months, we're leaving tomorrow for the United States, for Los Angeles. And basically what's going to happen is, I'll be in Los Angeles for a week with Annie and the kids, and get them settled, get them over jet lag. I gotta, you know, get Annie, kind of have her practice driving on the streets of Orange County, and then on Friday I go out to New York, and based in Jersey City, right? And I'm gonna be a part of a church planting program or school that is hosted by Redeemer Church in New York City, and so a class of 12 people from all over the states and, you know, in different parts of Asia are going to be coming together, you know, for 4.5 weeks intensive, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to about 3 or 4 p.m. every day. I have a reader about this thick, double-sided, printed, right? I have to read it by tonight, right, before I get on that plane, man, or before Friday and whatnot. And so anyways, you know, we're going to head out and then go there. So and then I'll be in New York for a month, and then we'll have a family time vacation for our second month, and then we'll come back to Hong Kong, and God's going to launch us out to Beijing, and it's interesting, sort of the call to Beijing, and I'm not ashamed to share it in this way, but really it's, you could say that we're kind of being latched on to, I mean, so how do I word this? Like God's calling and what God is doing, but we're actually the, you could say the third leg. What I mean is it wasn't downloaded directly to me and I said, hey, Pastor Sam, let's do this. And I said, hey, let's rally around and let's, it actually ended up with two other individuals or one couple and one individual. And one was Mary Koo. She actually was discussing with us and had shared with us that she had a vision to go to Beijing, that she wanted to go and minister specifically to the orphans, and that she would be willing to lose her job even. And so she took, I think, something like a 30% pay cut to get out there and to be in Beijing because she felt so convicted, so called, and so she went. And then sometime later, Chris and Amy had come up in that same, this was last year, maybe a few months later, we were having a dinner at our house, having steaks, and I was cooking like this and just, you know, doing my thing, whatever. And then he came into the kitchen, and I don't know, I guess he had been prepped up to, you know, how would he approach this, you know. And he said, you know, Sam, you know, and I'm cooking my steaks, grilling my, you know, very important, right? You know, don't bother me, right? He said, Sam, like, you know, so what, you know, at this point, he and his wife had talked about going to Beijing and were making preparations. They just hadn't announced it yet. And I said, Sam, what do you think about, you know, have you ever thought about maybe going back to Beijing? And I said, no. I said, you know, go out, right? Don't say that too loud, man. Don't let people hear, right? And I'm just doing my thing and whatnot. And so, you know, months later, whatnot, eventually everything gets to Pastor Sam, right? And some things had converged and whatnot. And he, Pastor Sam had approached me and says, what do you think about Beijing? And I said, I'll pray about it. You know, and it was a season where you could say in Hong Kong at least, things were getting pulled in all different directions, and we said we'd pray about it, and so I've shared this message with you guys, and I've shared testimonies, and it took me 10 or 12 EMPs to get it out of my system, right? Eventually, God brought us to the place where we said, okay, you know, we had to, it took some time, right? But we had to shed some things. But when I step back and I look at what God is doing, it's so clear. When I look back to when we were in Beijing and before he even called us to SP, and I see all the things that he's equipped us with and all the things that he's trained us in and the people and the community, it's so crystal clear that God has given us his call. Not today, but it was preset in advance. And so I'm still in this place where the call is clear and crystal, but my heart is all over the place, and steps wise, I don't know what the next step is, you know, so to say. And my encouragement to you really is to obey the call, to remain faithful to the call, and not be so afraid or let fear. It's one of the things that I'm definitely going to take away from SP is this idea of not letting fear dictate your decisions, right? Not letting fear be the input that causes you to go left instead of right, right? You know, a couple examples. You know, there was a situation where a security had become an issue, you know, amongst our leaders in terms of our information and whatnot. And I don't remember the exact context. It's a bit vague, but I remember Pastor Sam saying, like, well, we don't make decisions based on fear. And then Mike Cho was like, yeah, that's right. Right? We don't make decisions based on fear. We hear from God. Right, what he calls us to, we do, and we go out in faith. And so this idea that just because I don't know what next month or what next 6 months is going to look like doesn't mean I avoid or take the safer route or the route that I know is covering. So when I read this passage, you know, and the reason why it speaks out to me, you know, seemingly it's nothing profound, but I look at this passage and David inquires of the Lord. This is the word I want us to, you know, kind of, this is my charge. David inquires of the Lord, and he asks God, says, can I go up, in verse 10, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou give them into my hand? Then the Lord said to him, go up, for I will give them into your hand. Right? So David goes out, and he defeats, has a successful battle, and comes back victoriously. Right? So God, he inquires of the Lord, and God gives him a word. He obeys, right? He does what God calls. Now here's what I love, okay, in verse 14, and this may be just the very next day. In verse 13, the Philistines made yet another raid in the valley, right? In verse 14, and David inquired again of God. And God said to him, you shall not go up after them, circle around behind them and come at them in front of them of the balsam trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees that you shall go out to battle. In our nature, by default, we ask God for something. God, answer this, and how do I do this? And God answers, and we come out victoriously, right? Then we think, just by default, the next day, oh, same situation. Well, okay, God, this is what you said yesterday. I'm just going to walk into it the exact same way. Right? But if you read here, God didn't do what he did yesterday the same way he's calling him to do it today. What I mean by that is God demands a different response. Basically, what God told David to do in encountering the Philistines is not the same way in the next day. David had to inquire of the Lord. He had to say, okay, this is what God did yesterday, but God, in this same encounter seemingly, in this same combat, how do you want me to do it? And God gave him completely different instructions. And so there's a season or sometimes in my life where worship may seem the same, but as I inquire of the Lord, as I seek after the Lord and his guidance and his steps, man, every day our worship to God, right, what God does demands a different response. What that means is it's not like victory here and then cruise control for the next week. It's the next day. Lord, what's next? And this is, as we inquire the Lord, and I read, as you read through the, you know, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as you read through, you know, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and you read of how passionate David was. And I did a search on the computer, you know, David inquires of the Lord, and like 15, 20 times in critical junctures in his life, in the Bible, where the verse, you know, where the verse reads, David inquired of the Lord. And in critical junctures, in battle, in seasons. And as I read this, I'm wondering, you know, as Nathan is coming into his palace and coming to tell him that you have sinned against the Lord and that judgment is going to come upon you and upon your household and upon your firstborn. And I'm wondering, at what point did a man of God such as this, right, who at every critical juncture in his life would inquire of the Lord, God, amazing, praise God, you brought victory. God, what about today? Right, left or right? At what point was it in his life, I'm trying to figure this out, I'm trying to pinpoint, you know, that he stopped inquiring of the Lord? I mean, what was it? What was it? Was it power? You know, what was it? He didn't have enough time to worship? You know, was it, you know, just living in high, lofty towers? You know, just thinking about just physically speaking, logistically, you know, when you're low and when you're kind of humbled and you're on the ground, kind of ground level, you could say, emotionally or spiritually or you know, in terms of pride, you can't see people taking a bath, right, and so to say. But when you're in a tower and when you're lifted up, in some ways, you know, there are a lot more, you could say, temptations, a lot more hardships. You know, it's up on a tower that he has power and authority at the same time, a greater responsibility at the same time, a higher level of assaults. Did he not surround himself enough with intercessors? You know, and there's no one place where I can find or figure where he stopped inquiring of the Lord. All I know is that when he did, you know, he made wrong turns here. He made wrong decisions there. And I think that in some ways, the center of his heart or who occupied that at some points may have been dislodged and needed to be recentered. And God calls him back. And so just this idea you know, inquiring and coming back to the Lord, continually seeking. And as we prepare to go out to Beijing, you know, that's what we plan to do, but it's my charge for you as well, you know, to continue to seek after, right? Day after day, you know, God demands a different response every day to the different things that he's doing in us, and that we would just cultivate this heart of humility, right? This heart of just continually coming, you know, even if we're living in the lofty towers, to come down, right? And to serve, right? To go to this outreach, right? Hey, man, I'm busy too. We're all busy, right? But I think it's a heart check, honestly. I think it's a heart check that we say, yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, this and that, but I'm going to make time. And Jesus was busy, right? He had 3 years, you know, imagine what he's thinking and all the things he needs to pack in 3 years of ministry, right? And all the places he had to go and all the people that were vying for his attention and meetings and after meeting after meeting and officials and, you know, he always stopped and made time for the poor and the needy. He stopped dead in his tracks if a man or a woman said, I need your help, I need your prayer. Jesus, he made a U-turn, right? He stopped, he prayed for them. He always made time to help and to serve those that were less fortunate, those that were in need. And church, there's need everywhere. And we have a pastor that we appointed just last year, right? You know, for local ministry, outreach ministries. And so my charge in that also is that you would make yourself available. And I think that would put your heart in check, right? From the lofty places that a lot of us walk in, right? That we would come down and walk in it. A couple highlights, you know, I've shared with you sort of the call to China, SPM Beijing. A couple highlights that I'll be taking away with me that God has impacted me in, you know, deeply. That's a part of who I am now, a part of how I do ministry now, a part of my DNA. And Pastor Sam has said, you know, SP Beijing, he doesn't expect it to look exactly like SP Hong Kong, right? But there are certain things that I have seen that have been impressed upon my face and my heart that I can never turn around from, that I can never walk away from. Just a few here. There's no way I'd be able to go over all of them. A few things that people have said that I always carry in my heart. Pastor Sean Smith has come here many times, and he says, you know, breaking into the spiritual realm, right, is just a flimsy membrane away, right? A lot of us, we have this idea or mentality that it's like a brick wall or something, or it's like something, you know, in the heavens unreachable, but breaking into the spiritual realm and having God come down and revelation and word of knowledge and prophecy, it's just a flimsy membrane away, right? Something you can puncture easily and then the floodgates are open wide, right? So that's one of the things that I'll be carrying with me. Pastor Dominic, you know, when he came and he did his sort of prophetic activation service, you know, he had said, you have to die 1,000 deaths, right? When it comes to practicing and trying to activate, you know, the prophetic call in you or the prophetic giftings in you, you have to die 1,000 deaths, meaning you have to be willing to lose face. You have to be willing to say to someone like, man, God said this and that. And then Pastor Sam says, no, he didn't. Right? I'm like, oh, man, sorry. I'll come back to you next year when I recover. Right? But you got to be willing to, you know, extend out in faith and make a mistake and do it 1,000 times. When Pastor Sean Smith was here with Kurt Dunaway, it was, I believe, 3 summers ago as we were preparing to take out our Uzbek team to the mission field. This is one specific memory that I'll always carry in my heart. You know, here I am. I've been at SP a few years, and I'm still practicing, and I feel like I got a good feel for the prophetic and, you know, word of knowledge and praying and speaking out prophetically. And Sean Smith and Kurt Dunaway is just a good friend of his that came from the Bay Area, and he's in charge of this tire factory. Anyways, we're training our team. It was Leanne, Yan, Tracy, Chizun, Hyde, Mike, Angie, Soyan, and we're practicing and we're going here praying. And at one point, you know, we've been read up. We've read all we could read. We've heard all we could hear. Now, basically, Kurt Dunaway says, "You guys just got to do it." And so we were right here, and he sat in the middle. And a little bit of anxiety, right, you know, doing this publicly. And so we started praying, and one prayer after another, one prayer after another. And people just started praying out prophetically. And you could see as the next person, the faith was increasing and words and were coming out. And Kurt was just sitting there, just weeping and weeping. And he's saying, man, like, you guys are ready. It's like, you guys are so ready. You know, and I'm just standing there as a leader in charge of this team. And just the sort of the satisfaction and the joy of being able to see my team members step out boldly and having this confidence and saying, yeah, we can do this thing and we're doing it. And then to see them out in Uzbekistan, and we spent a whole day, one of our last days, you know, kids lining up in different pockets and whatnot and coming to us, and we're just praying over them. And man, just seeing God operate in that fashion, it was just incredible. And just, you know, being able to step out in faith in that. In that sense, looking back in hindsight, I recognize one very critical thing is that the prophetic is in us already. Right? Even if I'm talking to you now and you're saying, well, what is he talking about? What does it mean prophetic activation or word of knowledge or prophetic? See, I don't even have all the vocabulary down, right? What I mean is, before I ever knew these words, before I ever stepped into this church and saw it in action, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the impact that it has on people, I was already walking in it. I just didn't have the verses that went with it and the words and teachings. And what I mean by that is there were several encounters in my life prior to, within my church, very structured, very traditional, you know, no praying in tongues, no, like, you know, even if you did this too much, right? But there were events in my life where I would say, oh, that's just intuition, or that's just I know God, so whatnot. But God had actually spoken. There was two incidents where, one, I was driving down, and I just had this sort of compulsion, and I just had these pictures, right? And I said, hey, man, are you doing okay? To my friend, as we're driving down, you know, Rosecrans, you know, beach, I said, hey, how are things going? And hey, I know we just got from church and things have been going on, but I sense that you're not doing too well. And I told him, this is what I see. I see you going home every night. And I see you walking into your house and the light's off and your mom and dad and all their problems, whatever, they're in their room and your friends are all behind, you know, gone off. And you walk in and I just see you walking into your room and then your bathroom and then looking at your mirror, and then you're just weeping, and I just see this, and are you okay? Are things, and how are things going? And he said, Sam, it's been, you know, really a difficult time in my life, and I have been doing that. He said he actually has been going home and just a sense of loneliness and just this, you know, like this deadness in his heart and whatnot. And so, you know, we were able to just, a couple of us there, be able to just kind of encounter that and just cover that over him. And at that time in my season, it's no big deal. It's just, oh, intuition or whatnot. But as I look back, God was giving me pictures, you know, prophetically working through me. I just didn't understand the terminology or you know, the words or whatnot. And I can tell you several places in my life where this has happened, where either through a dream or a vision I've spoken. And some of you are here and we have that hesitation or that fear, but I'm telling you, you're already walking in it. The Spirit of God lives in you. The day you said, come into my life, and he's been operating in you, and you've come to a church or a community where we take it serious, you know, hearing from God, right, and being able to speak into other people's lives. And so, you know, sort of my charge to you in this is that you wouldn't say, well, this is for others, or you wouldn't say, well, it's just not my cup of tea, or it just makes me a little uncomfortable, but that, in fact, you would open yourself up to it, and in fact that you would continue being used by God, in fact, more effectively and more powerfully. A couple things here, and then I'm going to wrap this up. But, you know, one of the highlights, obviously, is being able to see my kids, you know, grow up here in the church with, you know, our you know, with all of you, with the church members. And you know, when we do our infant baptisms here at church, and, you know, you're familiar that Pastor Sam says, hey, look, you being a part of this, you know, service, you know, is a testimony, is you, and he makes a charge or a call to the church that it's not just, you know, my kid or Pastor Sam's kids or our parents' kids, but this is our church, this is our community. And there are, you know, believe it or not, I mean, there are certain things that you can say and that you can do that affects our children in ways that I can't, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, like, you've all been through it, you know, through adolescence. Your mom or your dad says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And it's like, oh, you just shut them off, right? Just by nature, because your whole life after 20 years, it's like, you know, stop with the instructions. But then someone else that you respect says the exact same thing, but in a different way. And you're like, oh, yeah. Like, yes, so profound, right? Like, oh, let me write that down. Your mom is like, what? Like, I've been saying that for like the last 10 years, right? What I'm saying is, as parents, you know, we want the best for our kids. And in one essence, there's some of a blind side, right? Because sometimes we just don't see. And on the other side, there's just certain things that, that our kids have heard enough of, you could say. You know, it's at least we'll do that. Like, you know, I'll be like, Micah, you can't do that because this, this, and that. And like, I think he might have picked up one or two words. And then at least we'll like grab his face and like, Micah, right? You can't do this because this is bad for you. And Micah be like, okay, right? And so, you know, point being that you affect our kids much more than you think. Whether it was one moment, you know, over frozen yogurt, you know, on one afternoon, whether it's, you know, teaching them on a Sunday lesson, you know, as a Sunday school teacher, whether it's at a retreat, you know, running around with them or carrying them over your shoulder. Man, you guys have made an impact. And that's something that, you know, will be carried on in their lives, you know, foundationally as they're growing up. You know, the man that, well, I have more, I mean, Noelle as well. Renee is just 6 months, so she won't remember any of you. But even Noelle, you know, I mean, who they are as people one day, 15-year-old, 20-year-olds, will have been impacted by the way that you've loved them. And I say, keep going, man. You know, you guys have a new kid, Elijah. He's crazy, right? God took one crazy kid. He's going to bring another crazy kid. We were eating at Ula, and he had his own food, man. He had his own food. But he kept going over to our plate and eating it with our hands, right? Strategically, he would wait till we're not looking. But I was watching because I always watch my food. And he grabbed the sausage. And Annie said, like, you know, after like halfway through the meal, Annie said, okay, hey, look, this one sausage left, don't eat it. Okay, this is for Micah. He, and Annie put it down. And then the moment she turned it, he took it off the fork and he ate it. So you have another special child coming your way. And you're going to be able to impact him over the next 3, 4, 5 years, right? And I mean, just so many things I can say. Yeah, I guess my last charge or my last sort of encouragement would be, you know, as we read this passage, you know, it's a charge for us to continue asking, right? To not stop inquiring, right? To don't get to a place where you feel like, oh man, you know, God's, you know, giving me a blank check. I mean, in the overall sense of the word, yeah, but he still wants us to inquire of him every day. And so the first charge would be that we would keep coming and keep asking. And then the second closing charge would be this, is that you would ask for great things, right? That you would have the audacity to ask God for incredible things. We were here last Tuesday. We just came back Tuesday night or Tuesday morning, and then we had a guest speaker. It was a small outing. It was just, you know, email invite only, of an incredible man from India, an evangelist, V.G. Vargas. And he came here and was just sharing his testimony after testimony. I mean, just story after story. And you walk away listening to this man thinking, man, this guy has, like, the audacity to ask for anything, large and small. And so you walk away, and it kind of carries it, you carry it away with you, and you want to have that same faith. And he was giving a testimony how he was with his nephew. I was really tired, so I missed parts of it, but I got the most important parts, and so it might sound even more fantastical than it is. But he was sharing, and he had to get to a meeting. It was critical for him, and he was with his nephew, and he got there late. He didn't even get there late. He got there on time. But the train had left an hour earlier than the ticket had said. And he said, that's just sometimes how it works in India. And so he was like freaking out, like, what? Like, I got to get to this place. My nephew and I. And so he put his nephew on his suitcase and he said, stay there. And he just started walking back and forth and praying out in tongues and praying out and praying. And he started saying, train, come back. Right? He had left like an hour later. And he's like praying. And he's like, train, come back in Jesus' name, right? He's praying. And he's like, no, no, no. He's just, you know, doing his thing. And train, come back in Jesus' name. And he's like this, like, come back. And it's crazy, man. Sure enough, this train came back. The same train that he missed that left an hour earlier came back. And I don't remember all the details. I mean, you know, immediately our default, oh, well, maybe there's some technical difficulties or you know, they forgot, you know, someone more important, so they had to come back. Whatever the case, man, he prayed and the train came back. And the conductor was saying, man, these trains never come back, right? And in fact, he was saying something to the effect that they were waiting on, I can't remember. I'll just butcher it more. But he gave another instance where he had lost a blue button, right? He was wearing his outfit for a evangelical conference where he was going to, evangelistic outreach where he was going to be preaching, and he lost a button, and he was just, he was just a mess. Like, God, I need my button. Like, I can't go up. And he was like, it was a big deal to him, is what I'm saying. And yet it was such a small thing. But he prayed, and he said, God, you got to give me some money. I have no money. Someone needs to buy me a suit. And he's just talking out to the Lord. Or say, God, you got to help me find this button. It's a light, you know, light blue button. He's giving God all the details. It's circular. It has a little bit of cream in it. And God, I need this. You got to give it to me. I can't go up there. I can't preach, you know, whatever, whatnot. You know, whole nother issue, right? And he's walking and praying and he's praying and he's praying. And he looks on the floor and there's a little blue button that fits exactly to the same matching of the other two that he had lost. And just the audacity, I mean, to pray for whether a train coming back, right, or whether a little button. And I had a friend growing up who I worked with in children's ministry, and he had told me this story when he, and this basically V.G. Vargas was saying, his point was, I pray like a child, right? I don't care how spiritual or what mountains I climb. He said, I always pray like a child, right? And I have faith like a child. And so he just talks to God. And I do this, and maybe you guys have done this. And sometimes I don't make it, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, creator of the universe, will you, thou, this, thou, in the name of Jesus, right? Sometimes I just say, God, you know, do you think it's okay? Like, really, I'll be like lying down on my pillow, like, God, right? Like, do you think it's okay if I had this? You know, Lord, can you grant this? And it's just a conversation. It's just a talk. And I had a friend, he told me he was like first grade, I think 8 or 9 years old, and he had this blue ball. I shared this before. It was his favorite blue ball, and he lost it. He totally lost it. He didn't know where it went. And he was in the living room hallway to the dining area or whatnot, and he just said, God, I really like this blue ball. Can you give it back to me? You know, God, if you're real, and I'll believe you for the rest of my life, kind of a thing. You know, I said, can you give me this ball back? And he told me that his mom was behind him in the kitchen, right? And he was praying this. And I don't know why he was in the hallway or why he was there. And he prayed this. And the ball came bouncing back. I'm not kidding. He wasn't lying. He's a doctor, right? He's a good friend. The ball came rolling back to him. There was no one else in the house. Now, okay, you say, well, it was probably lodged in an indoor like tree or in the corner of something, right? But the child prayed. And whether God shook the cabinet or the tree or whatever it was that it was lodged in or out of whatever you want to say it is, the man prayed in faith and asked God, and God dislodged it and brought it to him. Amen? So ask God for incredible things, large and whether it's small, and just talk to him. And you can be honest, right? Like, God, is this good for me? Right? I would really like it, and I think it is, but is it? And ask God to answer and bring these things before him. One last thought, and I'll close. You know, one of the things, you know, I came, some of you, as I'm sharing this, you know, you're at different junctures in your life, right? You may be coming to Hong Kong or to SP for the first time, or for the first, you know, it's your first month here, and there are you know, sort of the anxiety maybe, right? Because we get visitors all the time. We get people who come for 6 months, for 1 year, 2 years. I, like, it's seemingly like 9 out of 10 people at SP, we only came here to be here 3 months, right? We came here to have our kid and then to go back to Beijing. That was the plan before Pastor Sam had, you know, presented. I don't know how many of you came here for a one-year assignment or, you know, 2 year assignment and are now here on your 7th, 8th, 9th year. And some of you are here, you know, on a 6 month to 1 year assignment. And sort of like what I talked about earlier, sort of this sense that, yeah, you're supposed to be here. Somehow God conversion brought you here. But to not doubt or to not be afraid, right? But to just trust, to trust in God that he has the steps set before you if we go to him and if we inquire of him, right? And if we humble ourselves, right, he'll tell you the next steps, right? It would be great if he told you all 100 steps and to the end point, but that's not how faith works, right? and so that you would just remain steady. And guess what? You know, in this vulnerable state, like, God, what are you doing? What's the next step? Man, that's the place where the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? God planted something in your heart. And it's in your heart, and it's fragile, right? It's in this little vase, earthen vessels, whatnot. And you're waiting for the next step that's going to increase your faith. And then the next step after that that's going to strengthen your faith and harden and fortify. But it's in that first planting of the seed where you're so fragile that the enemy comes and attacks. And if he could just get you 1 degree off, you know, from the start, or if he can get you to turn your face towards the other way. So be cognitive, be aware of that fact, and just stand sturdy, right? And say, God, I love you, and God, I worship you, and respond to him, not for what he did yesterday, but what he's doing to you today, and what he's going to do to you tomorrow in faith. Amen? Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. Just spend some time this morning meditating on the Lord. Some of us, I know, are just in a season of a high period in our lives. And man, it's exciting. You know, in any given day, you know, one person is celebrating something new. And another person on that same very day is having the, you know, difficulty of his or her lifetime. And I think it does us well as a church to be aware of both. Right? Every day there's celebration, a newborn baby, the committing of a new sanctuary somewhere in this world today, you know, the launching of a church into complete darkness, but with the light of Christ in us. But in that same day, someone passes, someone beloved. Or on that same day, you get word of some devastating news. And I just pray that as a church and as individuals, that we would have the capacity, the ability, that we would be willing to intercede and to get face to face with each other. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe I was a single man, you know, out of college, grad school. It was a different season in my life. You know, I wasn't too sad that I was leaving my home, my family, my friends. I mean, I was sad at leaving my parents. That one hit. But everything else, I was... There were 100 other things to be excited about. But as I was contemplating and meditating and as I'm leaving here, I can't explain it. There's a heaviness. And it's not like I've known you longer than I've known those that I've grown up with. But there's something so sweet here. You know, I felt it the day I walked in this church. You know, the day my son was born, I was worshiping right here in this seat. And we've had preachers come in and out, and they can't explain it, but they'll say the same thing. Solomon's Porch, you guys are blessed. You guys are anointed. And nothing's changed in the 5 years I've been here. Solomon's Porch, you guys are so blessed. God is doing an amazing thing in you, individually and corporately. And God is calling every one of you to arms. Not to the person on your left, not to the person on your right, but every single one of you, the body will be fortified and unified. And when one member hurts, the whole body hurts. So go and cover and pray. Invite into your homes, share over meals, pray over each other. And I'll give you this word. I believe that in the next 4 to 5 years, that we can and that we will plant a church
whether in Seoul, whether in Sydney, whether in another city in Asia, Tokyo, my heart tells me it's going to be Tokyo. Everything is just pointing in me and us towards that way. And God is going to use you to reach the nations. So let's just respond. Let's just respond to the Lord and say, God, where have you for me today? God, where are you directing my footsteps today? God, where am I going tomorrow? If I can't see it, I'll walk into it in faith. And I'll trust in you and I'll worship you. Let's just meditate on this as the worship team leads us in a song.
The reason why I'm here is for closing prayer. We're going to all do closing prayer. And this being Pastor Sam's last Sunday here, I stand here as a visual representation of the transition that is going on, not only through our church, but throughout the world. And so I'm Pastor Eugene, and I just want to just first share just how blessed we are to have Pastor Sam. He and I go back, way back. We went to seminary together back in California. We've been friends. We've been rivals, as he's mentioned his background in terms of his theology and things. And so I think through all of that, we've become good buddies. And through that, and now God has brought us together. And as God has plans for many of us, he calls us, he trains us, he builds us up. And then he sends us, and we truly believe that there's a sending anointing here in this place. And so over the years, Pastor Sam Kim has been truly faithful. He started Noah's Ark from scratch, and though it was not totally him, it was to the help of all the parents here having babies and exploding with all the babies. He has built Noah's Ark to a place where it is a thriving ministry and it is alive. And the life of the kids is just contagious, and it has truly brought new life to this whole body of SP. And so he and his family have been such a tremendous blessing. More than anything, just their personalities and just their heart and their character and what they've given to the church. And so what I want to do at this moment as we close is to invite Pastor Sam here. And I want to invite you to stand up, all of us. And for those of you who have been blessed by him and his family, I would just like you to come and lay hands, because we believe in a laying of hands. We believe that there's an impartation. I believe greater than any material gift or even any money, the greatest gift of love that you can ever give is the gift of prayer, because heaven moves and God is able to bless them. And so I want you to go ahead and please pray for Pastor Sam, his wife Annie, the kids, Micah, Noel, and Renee. And just pray for their new transition in Beijing. Pray for provision. Pray that God would open the doors to see the heavens move in China. So please, let's pray for their family. Let's send them off. God, we just lift up Sam and Annie. We ask, God, that you would bless their family, God. Lord, would you provide everything for them, God, as they go out to Beijing, God. I pray that you do a powerful work in that place, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you, God, for their hearts, Lord. And God, we ask that they would know that they're loved, that they are cherished, and that they're valued, God. And we ask, Father, for your blessing over them, God. Lord, we just bless them, God. Lord, we just ask that they would be a blessing, God. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for Abraham and call to come over them, God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just ask, Father, for your mercy, God, as you travel, God. We pray that you provide a home, Lord God. Lord, that you would dwell, Lord God. And Father, I pray, God, as they build a church, God. Oh, Lord, that it would be a light in the midst of darkness, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, Father, for your blessing, God. May they know that they're loved, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just lift up Pastor Sam, his wife and his children, his family. God, we ask that you would use him in a powerful way in Beijing, God. I pray that you would give them provision for all their needs. Give them a home, God, where your presence would dwell. And God, I pray that they would grow and build a church, God, where you would be victorious, God, that you would be strong, Lord God. And Father, I pray against any fear, but I pray that there would be just incredible peace upon their lives, God, that every step that they take, where their foot crosses, that you would bless them and bless their path, Lord. And so, God, I pray that they would know that they are loved and cherished and valued. And God, we pray that you would just be with them through good, through bad, through big, through little. God, I pray that they would know that you are stretching them and loving them. And God, we as a SP family commit to praying for our brothers, our sisters now out in Beijing, God, that they would be an extension of us. God, I pray that they would be your hands and feet to the city of Beijing and to China. Lord, we bless them and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give Pastor Sam a hand and thank you for coming. Have a blessed week and we'll see you next week. Make sure you have a chance to talk to Pastor Sam as he goes. Give him a big hug. And God bless you. We'll see you next week.